Welcome to Middlebrow, a service of Scriptorium Daily, where sadly we put big ideas through the digital martyrdom. This is John Mark Reynolds. I'm the director of the Torrey Honors Institute, and I'm here with my fabulous colleagues, Fred Sanders, sometime theologian and cartoonist, and
Hello.
Paul Spears, educator and denigrator of government control of your children's lives. This is a new year.
You know me so well.
Yes. Woo! 2008. We weren't doing the show in 2007, so our predictions are flawless. Unfortunately, one year I had a radio guest hosting spot, and I did lots of predictions where my colleagues discovered I am neither a prophet nor a son of the prophet. I think I predicted that the Republicans would keep control of both houses of Congress.
I don't think
that was
you're
so successful.
Yeah,
I think your stats were pretty low. Yeah,
yeah, I think we should do that again. And so because Tory tutors rush in where angels fear to tread, we're going to go ahead and give our top three insane predictions for the upcoming year, 2008. And then in 2009, we'll do the same thing, but also reflect back on, well, basically why you shouldn't trust our sports, political, and other prognosticating abilities. Hopefully I know more about Plato than I know about Republican control of Congress.
So this show is I Predict 2008.
Yeah, that's right. And you can hold us to
it. Well, we need
theme music. Keep a scorecard. Do, do, do. Well, that wasn't good theme music. I'm clear on that. Paul Spears.
Yes.
We're going to start with you. And here are the rules of the game. You've got to give us kind of a pop culture, sports, fun prediction about which you have no qualifications whatsoever. And then sort of a broader cultural prediction where we have some skills. We think about the culture broadly in Torrey, and then something inside your field, which is philosophy and philosophy of education. So have at it, Paul. What are your top three predictions?
Well, I think my first one is sports related, which I know very little about except for my time on Sports Illustrated. But I think that the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl.
You
this
really
year.
Want to keep your job, don't you?
Well, no, just because you have a problem with the idol of Brett Favre at your house. That's a whole
you,
different
Brett.
Issue. But I think that they're on a... They seem to be on a mission, and Brett Favre just won Sports Illustrated Man of the Year.
Yeah.
He's all over the place, and he is playing possessed almost
at
this point.
Their loss to Dallas notwithstanding, which I think can be understood by Charles Woodson's injury and by the fact that Brett Favre went out of the game. I know Aaron Rodgers filled in capably.
Well, by the way, we're boring everyone.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying the cock, and Fred is taking
man.
A nap.
I just learned that we're talking about football.
It's an American sporting event,
yes,
Fred.
Sports collectives compete with one another to determine which is superior.
Where men smash
Come on.
Together at
Fred,
high levels of speed.
You come to the Super Bowl
speed.
Party every year, and every year you don't watch the game. It's
yeah.
amazing.
Sorry about that.
But you like the chicken wings.
It's true. We do have good food at the Tory Tudor Super Bowl party.
So I think that the Brett Favre, I think the other prediction that I have is that theistic evolution is going to become more and more pervasive in American evangelicalism. I just think I can.
Sad.
Yeah, it is. I think that people aren't being very thoughtful about it. I think that the academic community is pushing it. It's insidious, and it's just working its way into our culture.
Yeah, it's going to be harder and harder to say, I'm smart, I'm an evangelical, and I don't believe in theistic
that's
evolution.
Right. That's right.
And that's a pity. Fred,
it's
do you
going
think
to become
that's
a
right?
Test.
Are you on board with that Pauline
yeah,
prediction?
Yeah, I think that's probably where things are going.
Oh, man alive. Okay, go, Paulie.
And then I think that the other prediction I have is that the continued push of science, and especially in the field of economics, are going to make our ability to assess our children properly unattainable. I just think the force of economic theory and what that's for and how it works doesn't actually get to the core of what does it mean to assess a child academically.
So let me break this down for
sure.
for a listener. So I'll talk as a layperson in this area, really. Things like No Child Left Behind and giving ever more tests.
That's
you,
right.
You're saying, and I think I agree with you,
that's
that
right.
this doesn't help education.
No, because you can't just quantify someone's ability. You can't just say, are they good? Well, they got an 8.
Yeah,
what does an 8 mean?
I don't understand George W. Bush, who's a conservative, supporting with Ted Kennedy something that seems so obviously liberal. Fred, why do you think conservatives have embraced silly things like standardized testing?
Just looking for some kind of outcomes that they can measure in some way. I mean, that's a noble motivation.
Yeah,
but
I see.
Keep coming back to reducing things to those numbers.
But that's the other problem, see, is I think it's because they're trying to be economic about it. They're trying to be efficient when they think about assessment. And assessment, by its nature, isn't always an efficient method.
Yeah, and I think it's this. If our tax money are – we're going to put tax money into education, and I have really dim views about federal money going into education. We're going to have accountability somehow.
That's right.
But bureaucrats aren't going to do Socratic discourse and don rags sitting individually with a student and finding out if they've learned well.
Mm-hmm. Here in our program, we have to fight back against having a guilty conscience at the end of the year where we sit down, two professors talk to one student for 30 minutes – and from that, decide if education occurred in the semester. That's in fact the best way to figure out, to assess how students are doing. But we end up feeling guilty, like, oh, we didn't really assess. All we did was talk for 30 minutes and really probe what they learned.
Well, not only that, it's really how much energy do we have to put in? How much resources do we have to put in to do that kind of assessment? I mean, it's literally a full week, a 40-hour week where we have students one after another come in, and it's hard.
Yes, I don't have to do don rags anymore. One nice thing about being director, there are some hard things. And I know how draining and exhausting it is to just sit and try to see if a student actually learned. Our kids are so bright that if we gave them a test, they'd pass it, even if they didn't learn anything.
But even after all that work, even Paul, who's an ideologue on this issue, has a kind of residual guilt feeling that, oh, this is only subjective evaluation. We haven't tied it down with numbers yet, so it's not real.
Yeah, that's right.
I think this ties back, Paul, really to your second prediction, which is the rise of theistic evolution in evangelical circles. The same thing that makes us think we know a thing when we can attach a number to it makes us think that scientists are the great prophets of our age and we should listen to whatever they say.
No, that's right, because what happens is when students think they know things, like my son now thinks that Padre means priest. He has no idea that it actually means father.
Wow.
And so because he's only learned to memorize it, to take a test, to get assessment with a number.
I'm just
so he
impressed
hasn't learned,
at his age that he's learning a second language.
Well, so. Yeah, I know, but he doesn't. Well, he is only learning a second language in light of this sociological study that he's having to do and when he studies the mission for the state of California.
Wow, I see. Yeah, so one wonders if that's learning as much
that's
as
right.
rote, kind of parroting of things.
That's
that
right. He's only
know.
Matching ideas.
Oh, yeah. Fred, you get to do three predictions. Paul's, we could talk about the Pauline predictions for forever.
Okay.
So what's the world look like from Frederick?
All right, three predictions. Number one, the federal government will intervene in the implosion of the subprime mortgage industry, and they'll save whatever this third wave of repossessions.
Namely me.
You.
Yeah, that's right. I'm opposed to federal intervention. Let me say, it will probably save a refinance, but if you're saying we shouldn't do it, I agree with you.
Yeah, the prediction is, and I don't know if this counts as a prediction, the federal government will intervene and worsen the situation greatly.
Isn't that the normal case when the federal government intervenes and worsens the situation?
I know. You could state this as a generalized principle that a centralized federal government planning is going to intervene in something financial and the unintended consequences will run rampant.
Isn't the key?
But I think it'll happen in 08.
Isn't the key, Fred, that centralized planning means it isn't federal planning? That the federal government intervening in a banking crisis means it's no longer acting like a federal government, which gives power to the states, but a central government. It's a one-size-fits-all solution to a free market problem.
Yes, I was using federal in the corrupted modern sense.
Yeah, I know you were, but I just wanted to go off on one of my West Virginia rants.
And by the way, the person
I
in
hate
charge,
the government.
The person in charge is that guy who's not Greenspan.
Oh yeah,
the
B guy.
Does anybody remember his name?
The B guy. If I pronounce his name out, it'll sound wrong, so I refuse to say it.
Whoever he is, he's not Greenspan, and he's going to save the mortgage industry.
We miss you,
and,
Greenspan. Yeah. We could say your name.
All right. Second thing I think is going to happen in 2008. Somewhere in the middle of some night, everyone's going to go to sleep and then wake up the next day and Jon Stewart won't be funny anymore.
That happened to me on day one, but okay, yeah. I believe you, Fred. You're the funny guy here.
No, I admit Jon Stewart's funny, but been watching him for a while and I think, I don't get it. Somewhere a switch just flipped in my head, and I think that's going to happen broadly.
So is all of Comedy Central going down?
Well, I think Stephen Colbert will take some of the splash, and depending on how bad this thing gets, the ripple effect may even take down Steve Carell. We may all find ourselves watching The Office saying, I used to laugh hysterically at this.
Which we did.
Now what's happening?
See, Colbert, I thought, was really funny. I thought when he first came on, it was witty, the sort of parody of Fox News, which was ripe for parody, just like liberalism was when Rush first came on the air. I just thought, Colbert is brilliant. I probably don't agree with his worldview. I most certainly don't. But, this is funny. But at some point you thought, Now I want to lampoon Colbert, and so you right. think this is going
to
happen.
Well, and he's too many turns out on the irony meter to be lampoonable.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's
so
true.
Where do you go from there? I think you go nowhere.
Yeah, his book was kind of witless, I have to say, as compared to the podcasts I've watched. Mm-hmm. I read his book, so to speak, in a half an hour break at an airport standing up, and it was witless.
Did you buy it, or were you just in the news place?
I stood there and flipped through it and read it.
His book, I Am American, So Can You?
Yeah. The title is the best part of the book, believe it or not. Yeah. That and the comic book type drawings inside of it. Okay, yeah. Fred, what's next?
Well, this is in theology. Bruce McCormick of Princeton Theological Seminary gave the Scottish Journal of Theology lectures this month in Scotland.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed those.
Yep. I think they'll be in print within the year.
Because you want to be in Scotland?
Because I'm sure he spoke from a completed manuscript.
Yes.
They'll be in print, and I think they'll be widely influential. I think he's got a mature view of Christology and the Reformed context. And
so all kidding aside, it's something that I should read. As a person who teaches Bible, who has to think about Christ seriously, I should sit down and read this, or only specialists in your field?
No, I think it'll be accessible. You'll have to brew a pot of coffee and be ready to read top-level academic systematic Christian theology, but this will be one of the books of the year.
Look, I'm going to say something and see what Paul, you think about this, because, you know, we have some training. I went to Bible college and you went to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do theology the way Fred does or Matt Jensen or Greg Peters or some of our other colleagues here. But I think that if we're going to be well-informed Christians and theology is going to govern our lives at the biggest level, it's just not okay for a well-read Christian not to read top-flight theology. You cannot read top-flight. Don't read A.E. Taylor if you don't want to, my favorite philosopher. But I think I'm probably going to have to read this when Fred distributes it.
It'll be best book of the year. It's sort of like saying, here's what will be the album of the year unless U2 makes an album. Right, so I could say this will be the book of the year unless John Webster of Aberdeen puts out a major book this year.
Is there any way that we could get John Webster to work here if we offered to all quit, or what would we have to do to get John Webster to come to Southern California?
I don't think he's looking for a job.
Since he voluntarily left
Oxford, I don't think he's looking at Biola.
I pitched Yaroslav Pelikan way back in his Lutheran days, but it's amazingly he stayed where he was.
Yeah, we couldn't get Jacques.
At Yale, you mean?
Yeah,
we
Yale.
Couldn't get Jacques. Jacques Barzun wasn't really open to our
offer.
He's
still alive, shockingly, at 100 years old. So.
Yeah, maybe he'd come now. Maybe we can wait till he gets to the point that
he
doesn't
know
what
he
we're
was,
saying.
Maybe so.
But not yet.
Hey, can I get a fourth prediction?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I predict that Jonah Goldberg's book will be
so
popular and so powerful that everyone will recognize he's the next William Buckley, and they'll just put him in charge of National Review, not just online, but the print edition.
Is this pandering?
This is pandering.
Wait, but I just need to know.
He'll also be signed as a writer for The Simpsons.
And he will also play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers.
When they win the Super Bowl, replacing Brett Favre. No, Jonah Goldberg has matured as he's been on National Review Online. It's easy to make fun of early Jonah Goldberg, but unlike some of the comics that you mentioned earlier, he's somebody who's moved on, who's actually read more and more books and thought about his positions, taken some hits and apologized, and has grown. I agree with you. It's too easy to look back on Bill Buckley and
say... But
he
doesn't have the Buckley-like vocabulary that I'm always confused at least once during a discussion.
Bill Buckley wasn't Bill Buckley when he started, and that's the important thing to remember. If you go back and read God and Man at Yale, that is a much more juvenile piece of work than the mature Buckley we get now. Now, it's not Jonah Goldberg doing pop culture on National Review Online, but nothing like blogging existed back in the 1950s day, and it was just a different culture.
Right.
So.
Goldberg's early work is like God and Man on Fox.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's funny.
Is that it for you?
You're done.
Four predictions. I guess it is it for you. Well, I'll give my three. And my first one is my pop culture one, which is the Prince Caspian movie is going to be very good. It's going to be better than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which I thought was a good film, but not a great film. It was a near miss of great. It's a Christmas classic. We'll watch it this year. Hmm. But Prince Caspian will be better, and I'll give you two reasons for it. First of all, it's less overtly religious. Hollywood was petrified of handling the crucifixion scene, quote unquote, with Aslan. Didn't quite know how to do it, did it a little clumsily, handled the religious elements clumsily. They made a ton of money. They're more comfortable with the material now. C.S. Lewis is more mainstream. They know they're going to make money, and they'll do a better job with Prince Caspian. So two reasons. Prince Caspian is less religious. Hmm. Second, they know they're going to make money, and they're already making Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Hmm.
Oh,
so this will be a better film. It's actually, I think Prince Caspian is the weakest book of the series, but I think the most filmable with Don Treader of all the books. Hardest one to film is going to be The Last Battle. I don't see that at all.
I don't see that happening at all.
I can see them making six movies and kind of an epilogue to the sixth movie that's The Last Battle. I don't get it. The second thing is the more scholarly thing that I'll say, which is that inside of philosophy and inside of Platonism, the unfair, in many cases, attacks on Leo Strauss are going to become ever more mainstream. Hmm. That Straussianism, which was a sort of intellectual rage in the 70s and 80s, and even as late as the early 90s when I went to grad school, it's really going to fade. And Leo Strauss is going to have been important because he got lots of people back to the text.
Hmm.
And you can argue with his political philosophy, much of which I don't agree with, but you can't argue with the fact that Leo Strauss wanted smart people to sit in rooms and read Plato or read Calvin, not read books about Calvin first or books about Plato first.
Hmm.
Simultaneously, what we see is the kind of person who is doing the project, the sort of project like Gregory Vlastos that Strauss was reacting to, where you didn't have to read Plato to read a Vlastos paper sometimes because it was so derivative. Let's pull arguments out of Plato that he never asked. That also is dying. I was just reading a paper from a University of California, Irvine professor this week that was attacking the Vlastos project. So in one way, Strauss wins. In another way, in the details, he's going to lose.
And of course, Strauss didn't really mean his political philosophy anyway. The esoteric.
Oh, don't start.
Esoteric meaning was just read books.
I'd like to go back and talk about the
Charles
Packers
Williams
again.
And the golden mean.
Oh, man.
My third prediction is that Mike Huckabee, by January, will have had his 15 minutes of fame. He was so effective at one point in November, early December, that I was seriously considering switching my primary vote and voting for him. But I don't see evidence that he can take a hit. So given my political prediction ability, of course, this means he'll be the nominee and the next president of the United States. But I think Mike Huckabee is from Arkansas. Arkansas politics is just a sewer of corruption. It's like anybody who runs from Louisiana. I don't know that Huckabee is corrupt. I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying, can Mike Huckabee take a hit? Just like, can Fred Thompson be energetic? I wrote a blog post about that, asked that question. The answer was no. And can Mike Huckabee take a hit? I think the answer will be no. He'll neither be president nor vice president of the United States. So there are our six plus a Jonah Goldberg pandering predictions, and then Paul's predictions, all of which are inerrant and true, which takes us up to 10. It was picking the Packers to win the Super Bowl, Paul.
Is that what pushed me over the
top? Yeah, I think that I am now of Paul. And Fred, your lack of knowledge about the Packers makes me question our friendship, really.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So, well, one thing we do want to do is wish all the alum, particularly the Torrey Honors Institute and the Torrey family that's out there, a happy new year. We hope 2008 is a blessed and prosperous time for you. Any last wishes to the Torrey community out there, folks?
Nope. Keep learning.
Yep.
Yeah. Read books and think. So, for the Torrey Honors Institute and Scriptorium Daily, this has been Fred Sanders, Paul Spears, and John Mark Reynolds putting big ideas through the digital marketplace.